calendar yesterday said December 26th. It tends to do that every year. And it said Kwanzaa begins. And then it said Boxing Day in Canada. Now, I realize we're not in Canada, but I love that day, Boxing Day, a day to box up all of those Christmas gifts that you don't want, the ones that didn't fit, that surely someone just doesn't know you well, that they got that size that was way too big for you, or maybe a little too small, or that color that you would never wear, or that... No, you put it back in the box and you said, thank you, I love it. But then they left, and then you were the first ones in line at Belk and JCPenney to return it. That's what they do in Canada, Boxing Day, box it all up and take it back to the store. In our home through the years, however, Boxing Day is the day you begin to box up all those Christmas decorations. Whether it's the 26th, or today, a good day, the 27th, or even tomorrow, you box it up and put it away. Now, don't look at me like it's bah humbug. I know some of you wait till the first or 12 days of Christmas afterwards, and some families have been known to keep their Christmas decorations up till February just because they don't want to mess with, I think the acreages do that. They just don't want to wait, and the girls don't put it up, and Tanya waits for Mike to do it, and Mike's not going to do it, and so February, and it becomes an Easter tree, and they just keep it up. No, put it up, box it up. Beginning today, Santas and angels and nativities, box the boxes and put them away, the bows and the paper too. The tree, unless it's real, and ours is so dry, it is Charlie Brown tree. It has like four little pieces of green left. It's time to box it away. Ornaments, extension cords, those outdoor lights, those wreaths. Open up the Christmas closet or pull down the attic and put it all back up. The furniture should go where the furniture has always been. Put it back where it goes. Advent is over. Box it up. But this year, I seem to be in no rush. Well, I'm ready for 2020 to end, and all the people said amen. I'm ready for this year to come to an end, but Advent, the themes, the words, the spirit, I need to linger. As a matter of fact, I think we should never box up the spirit of Advent. We need it. We need it perhaps this year, leading into 2021. We need it all year long, as much as we needed those themes in 2020, in the years before and the years after. So let me unbox those themes once more. Let's reflect on where we've been these last few weeks. We lit that first candle that very Sunday after Thanksgiving, and I read this passage from Romans. Paul wrote in Romans 5, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we've gained access by faith into his grace, which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our suffering. For our suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character. And character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint. Or my translation, hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit whom God has given to us. Hope, remember, hope is more than wishful thinking. Our hope comes from a higher place than simply logic. Our hope is more grand than common sense. Our hope is in Christ. This year, in the days ahead, we need hope. We need hope as we approach a new year for our church. We need hope for our families. We need hope for our nation. We need hope for our world. Our hope is in Christ. If you're looking for hope from the government or from politicians, you're going to be disappointed. If you're looking for hope from Wall Street, up and down, or even Main Street, you may be disappointed. The COVID vaccine, it thrills my soul that it is coming. But hope, real hope, Advent hope, is found in Christ alone. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name, on Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Hope in Christ. And then there's peace. Peace is special accord with God. Peace comes from God, and I'm convinced we will never know real peace. We can't know peace apart from the person of Christ. I love the passage. I share it so often. Do not let your hearts be troubled, is how Jesus, what he told his disciples and what John wrote. Don't be troubled. Later in John's gospel, Jesus said, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, an advocate, to walk with you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him or knows him, but you know him because he lives in you and will be with you. Jesus said, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world won't see me, but you will see me because I live. I live. You too shall live. Peace, Jesus said. I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I don't give a peace like the world gives. And he said it again. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't even be afraid. On that second Sunday of Advent, I shared the monologue of Joseph. And I do believe in my mind that Joseph is such a character of peace. When I read his story, especially in Matthew, of the angel coming in that dream and all that must have transpired in the months to come, he was a man of peace. As I said on Christmas Eve, does that mean he never had moments where the peace was a little shy, where the peace seemed to disappear? I think if he was human, yes, he had moments when he surely fretted and was anxious and was concerned. But deep inside, in the midst of it all, he knew of that peace that surpasses understanding. A peace that is beyond the world's comprehension. The peace that God and God alone gives through the person of Christ. And then joy. Many have said joy is your favorite week of Advent. The pink candle, joy. We need to hurry and unbox it. If you have already put it away, go back to the attic, go into the closet, and take that joy out again. Now don't forget, joy is not happiness. Happiness is always tied to the circumstances, but joy is constant. Happiness is based on outward circumstances that may occur in life and we're happy and then we're not. But joy comes from an internal, it comes from Christ. I got a gift under the tree, and I opened it, and it says, you can't see it, Luke, you have really good eyes. It says joy, joy, cranberry, orange, rosemary, and turbinado, I'm not even sure what that is, sugar. Joy, cranberry, orange, rosemary, and sugar. And I thought, what a great potpourri. Or you put it in, on your stove and some water, and the whole house smells like joy. And then I was reading it last night. Joy, how to mix. Add 12 ounces of booze. Refrigerate 2 to 3 days. Shake, strain, and serve. Makes 8 servings. Infused twice for 18. Well, joy. I will have to ask some of my deacons how to do that. That may bring happiness. It may bring happiness, or it may bring hell. It may bring suffering. It may bring a headache. It may bring, but it won't bring joy. They should have put happiness on it or something, but not joy. Joy is deeper. Joy, real joy, comes in Christ. When I shared on Advent about joy, I shared the story of our daughter Adeline, a children's minister in Waco, and some of her struggles that she had finding joy, and that joy didn't come through others, and she, in a very transparent moment, put on Facebook and on her Instagram post some of her struggles. You know, since that Sunday, I've had 4 church members who came to me in a very personal way and said, Pastor, when you shared that, I realized that I had some things I needed to share with my family and with some of my friends of my struggles. They said, I too have struggled with depression. I too have struggled with emotional dilemmas. I too have struggled with suicidal thoughts. Thank you for sharing, your daughter for sharing, for it reminded me, you told me, of real joy. When I shared with Adeline, yes, I told your story that you gave me permission to tell. She said, Dad, did you tell him that I had a joy tattooed on my wrist? And I said, no, I did not. I try to forget about that tattoo every day. 1 Thessalonians 5, Paul said, be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I read that again, 1 Thessalonians 5. Be joyful always. Is that a command? Is being joyful always a good idea? Or it would definitely be a good New Year's resolution. I'm not sure, but I think it's a good prayer. A good prayer for this year. Help me, oh God, to find joy always, to pray continually, and to give thanks in all circumstances. We didn't sing it, but it's a great gospel spiritual. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. The world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. I love that. The world doesn't give us joy, and the world can't take it away. Happiness, yes, but not joy. And then we concluded just last Sunday, the great theme, the Word and the Spirit, unbox love. Love. I don't have to explain love to you, because in this congregation, if you're part of this church family, you know of the love we have for each other, and we know of the love that God has for us. And our love for each other is based on our love for God. Someone last week said, Pastor, you quote that scripture. You find you're always reading to us from 1 John 4. I do, because it's so vivid and yet so difficult. John wrote, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God." Here's the hard part. "Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." Dear friends, John wrote, "Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also must love one another." John ended that fourth chapter by saying, "We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God but hates his brother or a sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. He's given us," this is a command, "anyone who loves God must love others, brothers and sisters." Yes, love is present in our midst. Let us never take that love that we have for each other or that love we have for God for granted. The church at Ephesus, Paul knew how difficult that love was. They were having their own problems loving. Paul wrote, "And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and deep and high." Listen, Paul said, "I want you to try to grasp how wide, how long, how deep and wide is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." Hope, peace, joy, love, all finding its essence itself, those themes, that spirit in Christ. I did tell Aurelia this morning, the kids are leaving in the process, have gone. You know, we could go ahead and get out those boxes, and we could this afternoon start putting some of that stuff away. And she said, "We'll see." But if you've packed up hope, peace, joy, and love, I beg of you, unpack it. Unpack Advent. Unpack those themes. We need them. We need them. As our band comes, I want to read one last verse. We often read through it and too fast, quickly on the Christmas story. Luke chapter 2, verse 19. "But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart." All these things, all that she had seen, all that she had experienced, Christ, the angels, the shepherds, all those things, she pondered them and treasured them. Let us ponder this day and the days ahead, all of these things, and treasure them as Mary did.